That thing's gonna hit in 2 weeks. What do we do with them then, huh? Why couldn't you have just bought the place when I told you to?
But Oz, we closed the deal an hour before he closed the deal before an hour before we got there. It's not fair. You told me no one was even interested.
In 2 weeks, they're gonna wish they never were.
The following day, the work of repairing, expanding, preparing for the soon to arrive horses all begins. Though the work is hard and the hours are long, Sasha, Mike, and Tom enjoy every minute. For the time being, they forget the troubled world around them. They enjoy the uncomplicated days, but most of all, they enjoy being with one another. Unaware that storm clouds are gathering overhead.
For the horses right now. I'm impressed. We've got a lot done in 10 days. This Chinook we've had has made it a lot easier on us.
In 10 days. 10 days. Pretty good for 10 days. Uh-oh. Duty calls.
Tom Evans' wristwatch starts beeping, which means there's work to do.
Honey, Tom will probably have to go away for a while now.
So soon?
Immediately, Tom Evans goes to his private room, seats himself before a holographic screen on his communicator.
I'm ready, General. We're security clear. Go ahead.
Captain. Sorry we had to call you while you were getting yourself just settled.
We've got big trouble. One of our space stations. Yes, we have trouble with one of our space stations. You really are the only man for that, this one job.
All right, General. I'll take it on.
There's a jet waiting for you at CFB Red Deer. From there, you will go to Churchill, Manitoba. And you will be briefed en route.
Mm-hmm.
Within hours, Captain Canuck is approaching Canada's space base in Churchill, Manitoba.
This is Captain Canuck requesting landing instructions.
You have priority one clearance, Captain Canuck. Proceed to runway 3.
Less than 2 hours after arriving at Churchill, Captain Canuck begins his journey into outer space. Captain has strapped himself in. Another briefing takes place.
Captain Canuck, this briefing is pre-taped and self-erasing. Please, you must listen carefully. As you know, the space station you're headed to is for mainly outer space manufacturing and research. There has been a series of accidents up there that our computers read as probable sabotage. All part of a plot by a foreign power to secretly take over that satellite. We think that's what's going on here. And it's going to happen soon, Captain Canuck. You've got to stop it and find out who's behind it.
Liftoff procedure interrupts the briefing tape. Then, a thundering blast from the powerful rocket boosters thrusts Captain Canuck into the blue northern sky towards his rendezvous to outer space. Once their job is done, the great booster rockets fall back to Earth for reusage. And an hour later, Captain Canuck arrives at the space station where he carefully enters the hangar. Captain Canuck's ship, equipped with both jet and rocket engines, so it can be used as both a space shuttle or a jet aircraft. According to the briefings, the commander on this space station can be trusted. But that still leaves the other 8 aboard. As Captain Canuck docks on the space station, he is met by one of the people on board.
Welcome aboard, Captain. My name is Levitz. It's really a surprise and honor to have having you here. We just got word that you are coming. I'll take you to the Commander Wallace.
Captain Canuck, it really is you. They told you. They told us an hour ago to expect you. This must be more than just a routine security check.
You might say that, Commander. More than a routine security check.
You are listening to a reading of Captain Canuck, number 8, March, the year 1980.
According to their briefings, the commander can be trusted. But that still leaves the other 8. The other 8 aboard.
Welcome aboard, Captain. My name is Levitz. It's really a surprise and an honor to have you here. We just got word that you were coming up here. I'll take you to Commander Wallace.
Oh, Captain Canuck! It really is you! It really is!
They told us to expect you an hour ago. This must be more than just a routine security check.
You might say that, Commander. more than a routine security check. Ceases has asked me to investigate the station. All these accidents you've been having lately. The computers are telling us that they're more than just bad luck.
Captain, accidents have always... All our accidents have all been explained. Besides, none of them were serious. We're working on repairs right now. We'll be back to normal soon. Of course, I'll help you all I can with your entire investigation.
Well, then first, I'm going to have to talk to all the people involved in the accidents. Is that fine?
Everybody, Captain. Reed is the only one that's not here. He's outside right now. We can see him from out here. See him up there? He's spacewalking. He's doing some testing right now. He'll be in very soon.
Reed, spacewalking. Looks like he's doing repairs. He thinks to himself. I'm almost done here. I'm glad this is the last operation. Especially now that Ceases has sent up Captain Canuck. I just want to get this over with. Get it over with fast. Commander, can you tell me what exactly he is doing out there?
He's checking out the stabilizer rocket. It already malfunctioned once already.
Back to Reed in his spacewalk and the supposed repairs that he is doing. Reed thinks to himself,
I've got to make this look good.
In his anxiety to finish, Reed makes one small slip in his calculation. And then...
Oh no! The tester! It's exploded! Reed's in trouble!
Trouble!
The stabilizer rocket goes on, firing far beyond its scheduled test blast!
He must be knocked out! He must be! He's drifting into the blast! He'll be incinerated! Be incinerated!
You are listening to a reading of Captain Canuck, number 8, March, the year 1980.
I can't take it.
are listening to a reading of Captain Canuck number 8, March, the year 1980. We now return to Comic Book Radio Theater. This is CKUW 95.9 FM.
The tester! It's exploded! Reed! He's in trouble!
The stabilizer rocket goes on firing far beyond its scheduled test blast! Oh no!
He must have been knocked out! He's drifting into the blast! He'll be incinerated!
Captain Canuck scrambles for the airlock chamber. I can get Reed faster. Just give me a helmet and air tank. My costume will protect me long enough.
Levitz, Taylor, you stand back at the airlock. Reed will need medical attention right away.
Captain Canuck. Out airwalking, spacewalking, thinks to himself. I hope I can reach him in time. Captain Canuck grabs him. Just in time. The Captain Canuck grabs the unconscious Reed a split second before he would have been horribly incinerated.
Captain, surely you do not think that was a phony accident?
If it was, it was a suicide mission. I want to find out why that tester exploded. Then I want to see what kind of position that blast has put us in.
The space station's position in relation to Earth and our original orbit is automatically computed.
It's still possible. It was a setup. It's still possible.
Commander, do you keep all videotapes from every single camera aboard the space station?
The Captain Canuck seems to have a new idea as he enters the control center.
Yes, from each and every camera. There are cameras covering every single area of the ship.
I want to see every tape you've got. Every tape. Going back to the first accident.
Levitz, bring in all the videotapes for Captain Canuck.
About over 4 hours later. I've gone through almost every videotape.
The accidents all look real enough, but they could still be phonies. Hey, what's this? There's a gap about 10 minutes in this tape. There's a gap. Yes, a gap. I see a gap for about 10 minutes in this tape.
That is an area C4. It's the outer section facing the moon.
Commander, I'm going to check out section C4. I'll need a circuit detector and a readout cassette for that section.
Behind Captain Canuck, Levitz gets on his communicator walkie-talkie.
Reed. Get over to Section C, fast! And don't let anyone see you, and bring weapons! Bring weapons!
Like a lone sentinel, the space station moves, silently, through the cold vacuum of space, while inside the space station. Captain Canuck moves, silently, through corridors of Section C, all alone by himself. Scanning area C4 with the detector until he discovers there's a bomb. The detector is indicating a bomb in this area of C4.
You are listening to a reading of Captain Canuck, number 8, March, the year 1980.
I'll pass that.
You are listening to a reading of Captain Canuck, number 8, March, the year 1980. We now return to Comic Book Radio Theater. This is CKUW. Like a lone sentinel, the space station moves silently through the cold vacuum of space. While inside, Captain Canuck moves without noise through the corridors of Section C. Alone by himself, scanning area C4 with his detector. Until... a bomb! A bomb! The indicator is indicating a bomb! A bomb in area C4! Suddenly, the captain senses someone behind him. He turns to find... it's Reed and Levitz diving at him, each armed with a power rod. A mighty throw of the detector in Captain Canuck's hands slows their attack quickly and sends a power rod sailing in the air to be caught by Captain Canuck. Reed, you have a funny way of thanking me for saving your life. You're a real big hero, Captain Canuck. You want to take us on barehanded? Well, you go ahead. It's your funeral. They attack. And again, they struggle. This struggle continues through a doorway into the dorm of the observatory. Give it up, Reed! Give it up! You're finished! I know about the bomb! In the next motion, Captain Canuck smashes Reed against the dome. But as he turns, Levitt strikes him hard, right across the face. Captain Canuck floats back helplessly in the zero gravity until he can grasp a protruding support bar. And then another support bar. Captain Canuck spins and sends Levitt flying with a powerful kick that knocks all the remaining fight out of him. Captain Canuck goes up to Reed and begins to question him. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it going to blow? Levitz? Does Levitz know? When? In 3 minutes. Maybe even less. Commander! There's a bomb in here! I'm going to jettison the section off. Captain Canuck dives for the jettison control. But fails to reach it in time. Spaceship rocks from the explosion and begins to tilt earthward, jolted in its orbit. Mm.
stabilizing rock is still on fire! We're being knocked out of orbit! Evacuate station! Evacuate station! Captain Canuck! He must have been killed! Captain Canuck must have been killed.
Reed and Levitz, arrive at the emergency shuttles just as the others are boarding. And soon everyone is safely clear from the falling space station. Everyone is safely clear of the falling space station. Everyone except Captain Canuck. Downwards, the crippled space station falls. Gathering speed as it plummets earthward. To be continued next issue.
Just listen to a reading of Captain Canuck, number 8, March, the year 1980.
Well, my teacher told me, boy, you're no good, because you don't do what you should. You better say bye, or you're gonna. But don't pity me, oh no. I've been better off out on my own.
I can survive by triumph. And can Captain Canuck survive? Kind of left you off on a cliffhanger there. I do have other issues of Captain Canuck after what I just read to you. So he did survive. I should read you more Captain Canuck. I really should. All right. That's for a later time, later date. Now, can you survive the rest of Comic Book Radio Theater? Oh, I kept that note really good. Long time. All right. Take note of this. The next comic book coming up to you, coming up for you, I should say. What we're doing is comic books about Canada, or their creator was from Canada. Earlier back there, me and Lindsay read a comic book from Superman. Its creator, if you don't know, is a Canadian or was a Canadian. All right, here's something that was made by a comic book company out of New York City. And their idea of what it's like to live in Canada, to be a police officer in Canada, a Mountie, RCMP. Okay, this is their idea of what it's like to live in Canada from the perspective of someone in New York City. Okay, well, you can judge for yourself if that's the way it is. Okay, I will read to you Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. What number is this? Oh, I completely forgot. What number is this? It's number 20. Yes, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, number 20. It was put out there wherever you bought comic books. I don't know. It was so long ago. But wherever you found the comic books for you to read and possibly purchase as well, you did that back in August of 1956. Back way back then, that summer. August of 1956. And if you said, I don't only want comic books, I want more, and I'm in a country that lets me have more and more often, you would say, I also want music, and I want the newest of music around. Well, I'll put this into law that you as a Canadian could get this at the music store. Put it on your turntable when you get home, in your warm home. I'm hoping you got the heat on, because you know we need it. Some times of the year, we definitely need heat in our homes. And we need good music in our homes as well. That good music back in August of 1956, same time of our comic book. That new music was Elvis Presley. Presley mania is going everywhere. Elvis Presley, super hot at the time. Everyone wanted to hear his music, know about him. We'll also hear from Kay Starr, her song Rock and Roll Waltz. We'll also hear from, there's more. I said, I give you more. The Platters, their song My Prayer. And then lastly, Gorgie Grant had a song, The Wayward Wind. All right. More wind. All right. Well, let's blow into another reading on Comic Book Radio Theater. I will start in on Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, printed August of 1956. One of the oldest comic books I have ever read on this show. That's cool. All right. What's more to say? Be like a Canadian. Be all no-nonsense. Say what you mean what you say. And this is what I'm gonna mean what to say, because I'm saying what I mean. Boy, he jumbled that up. Okay, why don't you say it? Comic Book Radio Theater, it's only here, CKUW. Listen to the whole station, why don't you? Yeah, excellent hosts, excellent shows all around. It never stops. It's excellent all the time. And the donations from our listeners, it's just so excellent. Thank you so much. The community supports us, and we thank you. Thank you.
W 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
Un, deux, trois, go. Sergeant Preston in the fire at Level Landing. Your traitor Thompson, welcome to Level Landing. I'm Sergeant Preston, and this is my dog, Yukon King.
Proud to meet you, Sergeant. My boat here. It's chock full of goods to set up a real store with fair prices, which are mighty needed badly here, so I'm told.
Yes, Thompson, there has been a lot of complaints about prices at Barney's Mercantile House. And Barney, not likely to take your competition tamely. He controls the rougher river characters around here. And, well, I've been sent here to keep an eye on Level Landing. Well, I never borrow trouble, Sergeant. So, we'll wait and see. That's my dog, Danny, barking. That man jumping off my boat. Danny's tied up, or he'd never.
Get him, King! Get him, King! Get him, King! Get him, King! Get him,
King! Thompson's first thought is for the safety of his boat.
Danny, Nanny, what was that galoot trying to do? Steal something?